here a while back, there in Tulsa at the prayer center, where Pastor Dave Roberson is the pastor, right before a service, someone went back into his office, as has happened so many times in the past, and just began to give him an earful, telling him, you know, he's wrong about this, that, and the other, and accusing him of things. And, you know, he's sitting there listening. And, you know, the thing about it, when people do that, I said, let's think about this now. You prayed, oh God, Pastor Dave is off. He's wrong. There's sin. Oh God, what do I do? And God says, well, I'll tell you what to do. You go in there right before the service starts, right before he's supposed to come out and minister my word, and you lay into him. Do everything you can to mess up that service. Now, you and I both know it doesn't work that way. You and I both know God doesn't send those people. You know why they do that? It's because they know that that's the one time they can come boldly before the office of grace. And just, they'll get a hold of him and go after him. And this person, this particular time, you can go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 12. And this particular person was trying to quote from Luke 12. He was telling him how that, well, you know, Brother Roberson, there's nothing covered that won't be revealed, and whatever you've spoken in darkness, it's going to be proclaimed upon the housetops. And, you know, Pastor Dave just sat there listening to this. And the guy was way off base on his use of Scripture. Now, I want you to look at something. Look in Luke chapter 12 and look in verse 1. It says, in the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear, in closets, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. So, you know, you read that verse 2 and 3, and you take a look at what he said in verse 1, and yeah, okay, it can kind of look like, you know, whatever you're trying to do behind closed doors, it's going to come out. And you better watch it. You know, you better not pout, you better not cry. He sees you when you're sleeping. He sees you when you're talking in the closets, verse 3. Well, that's not what this is talking about. Now, I want you to look at this. In verse 12, or in verse 1, it says, in the meantime, okay, in what meantime? Well, back up to verse 37. I mean, there's a lot that we could back up to, but just verse 37. He's talking with a Pharisee, and the Pharisee had invited him, they're eating, and in verse 39, the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. Ye fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? So he continues on from that point, and he's really laying it on the Pharisees for their hypocrisy and all the stuff that they're doing. We won't read all of this, but if you jump to verse 53, and as he said these things unto them, or in other words, as he is speaking this to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to urge vehemently and to provoke him to speak of many things, laying in wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode upon one another, He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now let's put this together. He's with a bunch of these Pharisees and scribes. And beginning in verse 39, he really begins to hit them between the eyes with their issues. And in verse 53, it says, as he said these things unto them. So in other words, while he's saying this, you know, here's this, and here's this problem, and this is why it's a problem, and you guys are hypocrites because of, and you guys are this because of. While he's speaking, the Pharisees and the scribes began to urge or provoke or to interrupt and speak things vehemently. In other words, these guys were furious at him. Now, while he's speaking, they're doing this. In other words, they're interrupting him and they're trying to get him to say something they can get him with. Okay, now what are they saying to him? What are they saying to him? Well, I can tell you. As he's standing there and he's talking and saying all these things and exposing where they are wrong, what they're doing is yelling out, "Oh, really? Well, what about this, Jesus?" And then rattling something off. And another one would stand up, "Okay, well, what about this right here?" And quote something off to him to try to get him to contradict what they think is in God's Word. Laying in wait for him and seeking to catch something out of his mouth that they might accuse him. What about this, Jesus? Well, what about that? Well, what about this? And it says in verse 1, chapter 12, in the meantime, or in other words, while this is going on, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people. I mean, we've got a lot of people showing up. Why are these people showing up? They're hearing a commotion, are they not? So here's Jesus. He's talking to these scribes and Pharisees. And he's revealing their hypocrisy. And he is explaining to them. And if you go back and you read from verse 37 all the way to verse 53, you'll see where Jesus is speaking things that are relative to things mentioned in the Old Testament. So he's bringing some things out and saying, yeah, well, it's this, this. And they're saying, oh, really? You think that's what that means? Well, what about this right here, Jesus? Doesn't it say blah, blah, etc., etc.? And because they're doing it vehemently, their voices are not a quiet, loving whisper. You ever had a dog on the couch? Didn't want the dog on the couch? What do you say to the dog? Now, poochie, poochie, mind mommy, get off the couch. He just lay there and wag its tail. What do? Get off that couch now. Okay, what are they doing? Oh, yeah, Jesus, but what about this? Well, what about this? Okay, let me ask you this, Jesus, Mr. Know-it-all. So people are hearing this. And words begin to spread. Jesus and the Pharisees are getting into it again. Let's go. And so this innumerable multitude of people are gathered together. And the Pharisees keep saying, well, what about this? Well, what about this? Well, what about this? Trying to trip him up in his words. And so all this is going on. And Jesus turns, chapter 12, verse 1. He turns to his disciples and he says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, why would he say that? Because all of the verse, chapter 11, verse 53 and 54, things that they are saying to him has to do with their teaching, what he calls leaven. He's telling them, listen, guys, all this stuff they're throwing out, beware of the leaven of the... Now, what? Remember before when they're on the ship? And he says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees. And they begin to talk about it because they didn't bring any bread. And then finally they understood what he meant. He wasn't talking about natural bread. He was talking about their doctrine. He's repeating this to them here. And he says, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. Now since he's already in a previous place identified leaven as their doctrine, then we could substitute the word doctrine in this verse. Beware ye of the doctrine of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness... Now look closely at this. Whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light.
and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now, what in the world is he talking about here? Well, if you have a marker, leave it in Luke chapter 12, and let's turn to another place. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. And we're going to read some things. In fact, in Luke chapter 12, in verse 4, he goes on and says, I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do, but I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And then he continues on with his teaching. Okay, now in Matthew chapter 10, look in verse 26. Fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light, and what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye on the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Can you see this is the same message here? You see this? Okay, now in Luke 12, he says, whatever you've heard spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. What you've spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. What you've spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light. Now back in Matthew 10, he says, what I tell you in darkness, speak ye in light. Now let's back up in this and see what's going on. In Matthew chapter 10, the first few verses, he's gathered his disciples together and it lists them by name. And it says he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. In verse 5, he says, don't go the way of the Gentiles or into the city of the Samaritans. He says, verse 6, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In verse 7, it says, as you go, preach. Now, what are they supposed to preach? That the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So what are these guys preaching and teaching? The kingdom of heaven. Now, let me ask you a question. From whom did they hear what they were preaching? Jesus. So Jesus has given to them kingdom doctrine. And he says, now guys, what I want you to do is turn around and go into these cities of the Jews, and I want you to repeat what I have spoken to you. Okay? Now, in verse 16, he gives them a warning. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. In Luke chapter 12, verse 39, he accused the Pharisees of their inward part being full of ravening and wickedness. Ravening. Ravening what? Ravening wolves. We see that in other places in Scripture. He says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. But when they persecute you in this city, flee ye into another, for verily I say unto you, ye shall not have gone over the cities of Israel till the Son of Man be come. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord, or the student is not above his teacher, or the pupil is not above his instructor. It is enough, verse 25, for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? Okay, now, stop there for a moment. In verse 16, he says, I'm sending you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. In verse 17, he says, beware of men. Now, what kind of men are they supposed to beware of? The Pharisees, the people that would do everything they can to stop them. He says, what they're going to do is arrest you. They'll bring you before councils. They'll whip you. You'll be brought before governors and kings. It's all going to be for my name's sake, or in other words, for the gospel's sake, for the gospel of the kingdom's sake. And he says, now listen, it's also the power of this is such to where it's also going to create division in the homes and in families. Because even your own family will turn against you when you take a stand for me. And he says, but when you're arrested, don't worry about what you're going to speak, verse 19. He says, it'll be given to you in the same hour what to speak. Well, how's that going to happen, Jesus? He says, well, it won't be you speaking, but it will be the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Now, he's speaking future tense. So, if they're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and then he says, you're going to be sent forth as sheep in the midst of wolves, watch out because people are going to arrest you, they're going to persecute you, but don't worry about what you're going to say because it will be the Spirit of your Father in you, which is going to tell you what to speak. He's not talking about right then and there at that moment. He's looking beyond the cross when the Spirit of the Father is in them. You see this? And he says, these people are going to persecute you. They're going to hate you. They're going to whip you. They're going to beat you. There's going to be division. It's not going to be easy. However, and not only that, but they're going to call you of the devil. And not only are they going to, now listen to this, not only are they going to call you of the devil, but they're going to call your doctrine of the devil. Why would they call them of the devil if they weren't preaching a doctrine that somebody believed was of the... Listen, if you don't open your mouth, nobody knows what you believe. So nobody's going to say you're of the devil until you start speaking something that contradicts what they believe. Okay? And he says in verse 26, fear them not therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. Now, what is this that is covered, that's going to be revealed? What is it that's hid, that's going to be known? Look in chapter 13. Leave your, if you've got another marker or a finger, you know, leave it here, but look in chapter 13. In chapter 13, verse 11, Jesus said, it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. And we've talked about this in chapter 13 before, won't reteach it. But he says, it's given to you to know the mysteries. So in other words, at this moment, you don't know the mysteries. But it's given to you to come to a place in time to know these mysteries. Or in other words, right now, these mysteries seem hid to you. Right now, these mysteries seem covered to you. But there is nothing covered which shall not be revealed, and there is nothing hid which shall not be uncovered to you. Now look over in 2 Corinthians. See a variation on this theme. No, 1 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul says in verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now look back in Matthew chapter 10. Jesus already told them, don't worry about what to speak. Because, verse 20, it won't be you speaking, it'll be the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. In other words, the Spirit, think of it this way, the Holy Spirit is going to be able to communicate directly to your spirit and let you know what to say at the moment you need to say it. And Paul, over in 1 Corinthians 2, has told us, look, the things that we teach, this hidden wisdom, these mysteries, these are the things that we reveal unto you. These are the things that we teach. We teach them because we know them, and we know them because the Spirit of the Father in us is able to receive this teaching from the Holy Spirit sent from the Father to us. So the Spirit of the Father, the born-again life, is dwelling in us, and now the Holy Spirit is able to communicate to our spirit what we're supposed to say and what we're supposed to teach. Verse 26, Matthew chapter 10. Don't worry about these guys, why they're arresting you and why they're scourging you. Okay, now let's think for a moment. Why would they arrest these guys and beat them and put them on trial? Why would they do that? Because of what they were teaching. Not because of anything else, but because of what they were teaching. Because their teaching contradicted the leaven of the Pharisees. And he says, fear them not, therefore. There's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. In other words, look, right now some of these things seem confusing to you. And remember over in John where Jesus made the statement, there's a lot more I'd like to give you guys right now, but you can't bear it. However, when He, the Holy Spirit, comes, He'll lead you into all truth, teach you all things, so on and so forth. He's saying, listen, don't be afraid of them. Now, why would they be afraid? Was Peter and John, when you look in the book of Acts, were they afraid? Were any of those disciples, apostles, afraid of what happened? No, they weren't. Why would they have been afraid here? Well, because, Brother Martin, they were going to get whipped and beaten. Well, that's true, but why else would they be afraid? look over, back over in Luke chapter 12. In fact, you can keep these two passages kind of pinched together here. We'll flip back and forth. In Luke chapter 12, what happened beginning in verse 39? Jesus began confronting the Pharisees and the scribes over their hypocrisy and the error of their teaching. Because it said in verse 38, the Pharisees saw it, how he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. And then Jesus confronts them over the doctrine of washing. And he says, you're fools for believing this stuff. Verse 40. Don't you understand that the one who made what's on the outside also made what's on the inside? And so he continues from that point exposing the error of their doctrine. Verse 53 and 54, they're yelling out, oh yeah, well what about this? Oh yeah, well what about that? Oh yeah, well come on Jesus, let me ask you a question about this right here. Now think for a moment. Who's the only one out of his disciples are there with him? But in the midst of all of this, who's the only one who's able to give a qualified answer to those Pharisees? As they're interrupting him, as they're throwing out their doctrine, Jesus is the only one. Now, who has heard all of this leaven their whole lives? Not just Jesus, but all of his disciples as well. So this leaven has been drilled into them their whole lives. Tithe or you will be cursed. This leaven has been drilled into them. If you don't give, you can't be healed. Over and over. So here they are. They're listening to this. And these guys with their, you know, their big old Pharisee robes and Pharisee beards and Pharisee medals of honor and all these kind of... And they're saying, oh yeah, well what about this? And what about this? And what about this? And they're bringing up all of these doctrinal issues. And here are these disciples, you know, Peter and Matthew and the rest of them, they're standing there and they're kind of looking at these Pharisees. And this is all they've heard, is what these Pharisees are saying. This is all they've heard taught their whole life. And so they're listening to this. And when these Pharisees are yelling, what about this? Well, explain this one, smart guy. Explain this one, Jesus. And you can just see the look on these disciples' faces as they're kind of like, yeah, Jesus, what about that? Now, they didn't say it, but capture this image. See this happening. This is why he turns around in Luke chapter 12 and he says to his disciples, first of all, Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Why would that be the first thing he said to them? Because that's what was coming out of their mouths at this moment. And he could see the confusion on these fellows' faces as they're thinking, well, yeah, what about that? I mean, we've always believed that. And Jesus, I mean, and they're not saying it, but in their faces are saying it. And he says, beware of their leaven, the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Who's he speaking to? The disciples. In other words, he's saying, guys, listen to me. Listen now. Don't listen to this leaven. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. Because right now at this moment, all these things they're throwing out, there's confusion. I can see it. But listen closely. Peter, listen to me. James, listen up. It's given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom. There is nothing hid which shall not be made known. Nothing covered which shall not be uncovered. And look back over in Matthew 10. He says in verse 26, fear them not therefore. Why would they be afraid? Because they don't have the answers. Because they don't know how to respond. It's kind of like today.
Well, when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part shall cease.
And most Spirit-filled Christians don't know how to answer that. And that's why, now listen, they are afraid to get into a conversation with somebody who can throw these verses. Well, what about this? That which is when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What about that? I mean, what about that? And so you have Christians that stand by and all these things are thrown. Well, what, listen, the Bible. Do you agree with me? The Bible is true. Well, yes, I agree. Then the Bible says that if you don't bring your tithes in, then you're cursed with a curse. Does not the Bible say? Well, yeah, it says that. Okay. So what? And most Christians don't want to get into those conversations. They're afraid to get into conversations with people over these things because they don't know how to answer. Now, why don't they know how to answer?
I don't know, Brother Martin. If I knew, I could answer.
In verse 20, he gives you the... In Matthew 10, verse 20. It's not you that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. In other words, on the inside of them, they have not allowed the Father to transfer to their spirit that which to them is hidden. They can't explain 1 Corinthians where it talks about that which is when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part will be done away with. They can't explain that. They don't know how. And so they respond, but I know what happened to me. And the other person says, okay, something happened to you. But how do you know it was of God? Because this verse says, do you see what I'm saying? These guys, because they, in part, because they would not be able to give the right answer to explain why the doctrine of the Pharisees was leaven, would be afraid to confront them publicly. Because they're the religious leaders. It's a way. How many of you would like... Well, I was about to say somebody's name. Pick one of your favorite preachers you used to listen to 10 years ago off the radio. How many of you would like to get into a theological debate with one of them?
Well, not me, bless God. I mean, well, you know, now, we're all here tonight. Yeah, hallelujah. I'll take them on.
They'll eat your lunch. Now, I say that figuratively because I don't know that they will for all of you. But you understand what I'm saying. We have to be, like, what Jesus is telling them is, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. He's telling them, look, all these things that seem to be so secretive to you, the time's coming, you're going to know this. It's going to be revealed to you according to the Spirit of the Father that will be in you. You're going to get the revelation of these things. It's going to be made of... You will have the capacity to understand these things. Then
You're going to know what I know, and you will be able to do what I am doing, which is expose the leaven of the Pharisees for the hypocrisy that it is. That principle then is the same principle today. There's no difference. But most Christians don't know how to do this. But look here. In verse 27, Jesus says, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what ye hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." Okay, now, what I tell you in darkness. What in the world is he talking about here? What, they go into a room and close the doors? Stumble around trying to find a chair? And Jesus says, "Listen up." What's he talking about? Well, leave your finger here and look in John chapter 1. In John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the what? The light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Okay, now look. If in Jesus was the light, and the light was shining in darkness, where was the darkness? It was in the people. The darkness of the sin nature. As the light was shining in the midst of all this darkness, it says the darkness comprehended it not. In other words, the darkness didn't have the capacity to understand the fullness of the light that was abiding on the inside of Jesus. This is why Jesus, at one point, he had to turn and say, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He wasn't walking around with some, you know, like the paintings with a halo around his head. It wasn't like that. It was on the inside. Now back over in Matthew 10 where he says, "What I tell you in darkness." In other words, what the light is speaking to you as you're walking in darkness, speak ye in light. What light? Not the light of Jesus, their light. In other words, when they're born again and the life that was in Jesus now becomes the life that is on the inside of them, the light that was in Jesus now becomes the light on the inside of them. And because that light is on the inside of them, they have the capacity to understand the mysteries of God that had been hidden and had been covered. And he says, "Guys, you're walking in darkness, and right now I'm speaking to you in darkness. But later on, you're going to be walking in the light as I am in the light. And when that happens, you're going to be able to speak out of that light that is in you these things that I have been teaching you, because you'll understand them at that time." And he says, "What I tell you in darkness, speak ye in light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops." Now, what are they hearing in the ear? Well, look back over in Luke chapter 12. He said, "What you hear in the ear, speak on the housetops." Luke chapter 12, verse 3. "Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light." Okay? Heard in the light. In other words, understood. Once that light is in you, the light of life is in you, you will be able to hear it. Not just hear it and acknowledge something was spoken, but you will have the comprehension, you will have the understanding only when that light is on the inside of you. Now look, "And that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops." Well, over there in Matthew chapter 10, he said, what is spoken in your ear, preach it from the housetops. What is into whose ear is it being spoken? Their ear. It says, "What you've spoken in the ear." Well, how can they hear it and speak it at the same time? How about this? I go into my closet. And what I now hear with the spiritual ear of light, as the Holy Spirit is ministering to me in that quiet time with Him, He reveals to me
the mysteries of the kingdom, and I turn around and come out to the housetops. In other words, now, why the housetop? Why is he using this housetop illustration? When you are afraid, you don't stand up where everybody can hear you because you're unsure of what you can do. What he's saying is, listen, it's going to cause a boldness on the inside of you because you're going to come to the place of understanding why the doctrine of the Pharisees is leaven, why it's hypocrisy, and you are going to understand clearly the types and shadows revealed by the law and the prophets in the Old Testament, and you're going to have a confidence of knowing what God is doing on the inside of you, and therefore there will be no fear. You won't be afraid of the long-bearded, long-robed Pharisees who will threaten to have you arrested and throw you out of the synagogue. You'll be able to stand up, look them right in the eyes with the eyes of God's compassion coming through you and God's love coming through you, and you will be able to reveal to them where they are wrong, not to prove yourself right, but to try to lead them to the cross of Jesus Christ. To try to help them see where they have been making a mistake. He says there will be no fear. There will be nothing but boldness. It was first manifested on the day of Pentecost. Remember Peter? Mr. I don't know him, Peter? Rushing mighty wind now. Cloven tongues like as of fire. Speaking in tongues. People come from all around. What is this? Why, we hear them speaking in our own native language. Ah, they're drunk. And Peter stands up in front of thousands of people. And he says, hear me, men and brethren. And from the housetop, he begins to proclaim the doctrine, the kingdom doctrine, the gospel of Jesus Christ with such anointing that when he's done, they begin to cry out, what must we do to be saved? Can you see this? Therefore, what you've spoken in darkness will be heard in the light. What you've spoken in the ear and closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now look in Mark chapter 4. You see a variation on this. In verse 21, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be put on the housetop? In other words, listen, when a candle is lit, it's not lit to be kept hidden. When the candle is lit, it is lit to be brought forth to give as much light as possible to the people who are in the room. The Bible says that the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. When our candle is lit, it is lit with the light of God, the same life that was in Jesus that was the light of men. And he says, listen, you're this candle. When you're lit, God doesn't intend for you to stay hidden. Let me expand on this. He intends for you to spend time in that closet to hear what is spoken in the ear and then turn around and be set on the candlestick of humanity. Or in other words, to declare from the housetop. And he says in verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. He's saying, look, the mysteries of the kingdom, they're going to be revealed unto you. So back over there in Luke, where that fellow, where I opened the message and I was telling you about that guy that went into Dave Roberson, and he took that verse, those two little verses out of context, and he tried to make that sound as though all your sins are going to be brought forth, Brother Roberson. Yeah, 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 yeah. We're all going to know your dirty little secrets that have taken place in the closet of your life. He's so off base. But here's the thing. A lot of us may have thought that years ago with those verses. That which is spoken and is going to be revealed and so forth. And aha! That's what's happening now, Brother Martin. All these preachers and their sin, it's being made known. Well, yeah, there's a purging that's taking place, but that's not what those verses are talking about. This whole message is that once we're born again, we can come to the place where no longer will we be afraid to engage in a conversation with any religious Pharisee. And in your mind, Don't think in terms of all these religious Pharisees as being mean ogres that just all they want to do is shut you down. Some of these Pharisees would give you the shirt off their back. They're nicer than me. But it doesn't mean that their doctrine isn't leaven. Nice does not translate into right. You can be really mean and still be right. Every single one of us have the capacity to understand these things. When you go through Scripture and you come across passages that you think, what in the world does that mean? Like tonight, maybe for years you wondered about this. You've read it and been confused before. Now you understand what Jesus is talking about. It's not about exposing sin. It's about us coming to the place of understanding this kingdom that we're a part of and understanding the Word that God has given to us to the point that it literally, the Bible talks about the entrance of thy Word giveth light. So think of it like this. The entrance of thy Word fans the light and causes it to burn even brighter. The light of life that is on the inside of me. We have the capacity to understand the things that are in God's Word so that we can walk the same walk as Jesus Christ and not be afraid to have conversations with anybody concerning what God has revealed in His Word. How do we do it? We've got to get in the Word. We've got to spend time with the teacher so that the Spirit of the Father in us can receive that teaching from the Holy Spirit sent to us by the Father. Listen. God doesn't want all your sin exposed. How many of you would like Luke chapter 12 to mean what that fella was telling Dave Roberson it meant? How many of us would like our lives to be opened up like a book? How about this? How many of us would like our lives for the last 3 months opened up to the world? How many of us, don't raise your hand now, how many of us have things in our life from the last 30 days we don't want the world to know? God's not in the business of shaming people and embarrassing people. That's like a last resort kind of thing to expose it publicly. We've talked about that in the past. What He wants to do is come to us as a loving Father and say, listen. And He ministers to us by the conscience of our new nature. And whether we want to admit it or not, that conscience is quick to convict and to let us know we're taking a step in the wrong way. If you get to the place to where you sear your conscience, you're getting close to having things brought to light, so to speak. But the more truth we walk in, the more that truth is going to be like a tool on the inside of us that God can use to work with us to help us live the life that reflects the life of Christ to other people. Praise God. I am so glad He is not going to open up the book of Jim Martin and read it to the world. I would just dig a hole and crawl in it and say, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly.